If you please take your Bibles and turn at this time to the book of 1 Samuel. We are in 1 Samuel chapter 20 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 20. We're in the middle of a message series on David and Saul. But our message today actually focuses on David and Jonathan. And Jonathan was Saul's son, and he and David were best of friends. Now, I promised you a real positive message this week, because the last several weeks, we've had some difficult messages, haven't we? We had that triple threat. We looked at the three main sins of Saul, which led to his downfall. So the last 3 weeks, we talked about jealousy, and then manipulation and deceit, and the last week, attempted murder. So I said, this week, friendship. Okay, this week, we're talking about friendship. And we already saw that David and Jonathan made their covenant of friendship back in 1 Samuel chapter 18. But now we come to chapter 20. And it's here that we see really the fullness and the richness of their friendship together in a whole new way. Now, it's a long chapter, 42 verses. And we'll be looking at all of those verses in the course of the message. But to get started this morning, we're just going to look at the last two verses in the chapter. Okay, so we're in 1 Samuel chapter 20, and I'm just going to read verses 41 and 42. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at these verses and the other verses in this chapter, as we look at this friendship between David and Jonathan, Lord, I pray that you would teach us about our friendships. Lord, I pray that you would teach us of yourself and your wonderful love for us in Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. What does it mean to be best friends? What moves us from the category of acquaintances to friends and then to best friends? Well, there's certainly a chemistry that develops between two people that helps them to grow and develop as friends. But at the very heart of friendship, the very heart of friendship, it is really commitment. It's all about commitment. Best friends make certain commitments to each other, and without those commitments, there really isn't much of a friendship. And so this morning, as we look at David and Jonathan's friendship, we're going to be learning about making commitments as friends and then acting on your commitments as friends and then following through on your commitments. And in the process, we're going to learn what it means not only to be a good friend, but also what it means to be the best of friends. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to take that out and follow along. You'll see the 3 points that we've just mentioned there, plus the different scriptures we'll be looking at. If you'd like to jot down some notes along the way, that would be great also. So first of all, let's talk about making commitments. Making commitments. Because in this chapter, we're going to see David and Jonathan making various commitments of friendship to each other. And the very first of those commitments is such a basic ingredient to friendship, simply the commitment to being available. Committed to being available. Friends are committed to being available to each other. So let's get started now. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 20. We begin now with verses 1 through 4. Then David fled from Naoth at Ramah. If you remember, that's where we left David last week. David had gone there to get away from Saul. Saul followed him there. Saul attempted to take his life there. God helped him to escape. David fled from Naoth at Ramah, and he went to Jonathan and asked, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to take my life?" "Never," Jonathan replied. "You are not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything, great or small, without confiding in me. Why would he hide this from me? It's not so. But David took an oath and said, your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said to himself, Jonathan must not know this, or he will be grieved. Yet as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, there is only a step between me and death. Jonathan said to David, whatever you want me to do, I will do for you. And so David flees from Saul at Naoth. He goes to his friend Jonathan. Jonathan commits himself to being available to David, whatever David might need him to do. No questions asked. Now at this point, Jonathan is not convinced that his father Saul still wants David dead. Remember, Saul had made an oath to Jonathan that David would not be put to death. So Jonathan's not convinced, but you know what? David's pretty convinced about it, isn't he? Especially after we saw last week, four times in one chapter, Saul tried to take David's life. David's very convinced. Jonathan's not so sure, but he still makes himself available to David. He tells David, he says, David, whatever you need me to do for you, whatever you want, I'll do it for you. Now that's friendship, isn't it? Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. This is such an important part of friendship, just being there for each other, being available to each other, both in good times and bad. So that's our first commitment of friendship this morning. Friends are committed to being available to each other. A second commitment of friendship is that of kindness. Friends are committed to being kind to each other. Let's pick up the story again now, verses 5 through 8. So David said, speaking to Jonathan, says, look, tomorrow is the new moon festival, and I'm supposed to dine with the king. But let me go and hide in the field until the evening of the day after tomorrow. If your father misses me at all, tell him. David earnestly asked my permission to hurry to Bethlehem, his hometown, because an annual sacrifice is being made there for his whole clan. Now, if he says, very well, then your servant is safe. But if he loses his temper, you can be sure that he is determined to harm me. As for you, show kindness to your servant, for you have brought him into a covenant with you before the Lord. If I'm guilty, then kill me yourself. Why hand me over to your father? So David tells Jonathan what he needs, and he asks Jonathan to show kindness to him. Notice David bases his request for kindness on the covenant of friendship that Jonathan has already made with him before the Lord. Job chapter 6, verse 14 says this, he who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. And so kindness is another basic commitment of friendship. Friends are committed to being kind to each other. Now you may have noticed in the verses that we just read that the problem of lying has cropped up again. We looked at this last week, right? Last week we saw Michal, David's wife, lying to try and save David's life. Here David urges Jonathan to tell a lie to Saul. And as we said last week, you're going to see this sometimes in Scripture. You're going to see examples of people lying with good motives, but that doesn't necessarily make it right. The Scripture's just telling us what people did. Anytime we tell a lie, even if it's with a right motive, a lie is still a lie. But it's ironic that David asked Jonathan to lie for him here, because the very next commitment we look at is what? Truthfulness. Truthfulness. Good friends, true friends, are committed to being truthful with each other. Look at chapter 20 now, again, verses 9 through 11. And this is where Jonathan replies to David's suggestion. Remember, David just said to Jonathan, hey, if I'm guilty, kill me yourself. Why hand me over to your father? And Jonathan replies in verse 9, he says, never, never, Jonathan said. If I had the least inkling that my father was determined to harm you, wouldn't I tell you? David asked, "Well, who will tell me if your father answers you harshly?" "Come," Jonathan said, "let's go out into the field." So they went there together. And so Jonathan commits to being truthful with David about his father. He tells his friend, he said, "If I knew anything that my father was going to hurt you, I'd tell you, right? Wouldn't I tell you? Of course he would. They're best of friends. And friends are truthful with each other. Even when it hurts. Even when it's not good news." Proverbs chapter 27 says this, verses 5 and 6. "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." See, truthfulness is another basic commitment of friendship. Friends tell each other the truth, even when the truth might be something we don't want to hear, right? Friends tell each other the truth, even when the truth hurts. And here David trusts Jonathan to tell him the truth, but he still wants to know the plan. Who's going to tell him if Saul answers Jonathan harshly? "Come," Jonathan said, "let's go out into the field." And this leads us to the fourth commitment of friendship, which is loyalty. Friends are committed to being loyal to each other. Back to 1 Samuel 20, verses 12 to 15. "Then Jonathan said to David, 'By the Lord, the God of Israel.'" Boy, Jonathan's putting himself under God here. He's taking an oath, right? "By the Lord, the God of Israel, I will surely sound out my father by this time the day after tomorrow. And if he is favorably disposed toward you, will I not send you word and let you know? But if my father is inclined to harm you, may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if I do not let you know and send you away safely. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth." And so in these verses, what do we see happening? First of all, Jonathan commits loyalty to David, and he asks David to pledge loyalty to him. Jonathan even calls a curse down upon himself if he does not prove himself loyal to David. Now, in verse 14 here, Jonathan asks David to show unfailing kindness like that of the Lord to him and his descendants. Such a beautiful phrase. It's a beautiful phrase in the original language. Literally, he asks David to show him the Lord's kindness, the type of kindness that God has. The word that's translated kindness there in verse 14 is the Hebrew word chesed, spelled H-E-S-E-D, chesed. It is a beautiful word in the Bible. It's usually used of God's love for us. It's a word that speaks of God's covenant love for us. It's a word that means God's loyal, devoted, unfailing love and kindness towards his people. And Jonathan expects this kind of loyalty from David. And he expects it to extend towards him and to his whole family. Did you notice that? He says, "Do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth." Now, when Jonathan speaks here about God cutting off David's enemies from him, who's David's public enemy number one? Saul, right? Jonathan's father. Talk about loyalty. Jonathan is loyal to David, even over his own father, Saul. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says this, "A man of many companions or of many acquaintances may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." That's loyalty. That's loyalty. This is the commitment of loyalty. God is loyal to his covenant with us. We are called to love each other as God loves us. And true friends show each other unfailing kindness like that of the Lord. We've looked at the friendship commitments of availability, of kindness, of truthfulness and loyalty. But one more thing under this section, we should also note that true friendship is always an example of mutual love and commitment. Mutual love and commitment. Look at verses 16 and 17 now. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account." And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. So notice that David and Jonathan here, they make mutual commitments of love and friendship to each other. Friendship is a two-way street. True friendship is never one-sided. Now, you can befriend a person who doesn't reciprocate, but you cannot be friends with someone unless it goes both ways. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." See, true friendship goes both ways. True friends share a relationship of mutual love and commitment. So we've looked at these various commitments of friendship. We've seen how Jonathan and David made those commitments with each other. But the next step now, the next step after making commitments of friendship, the next step now is acting on those commitments. Right? It doesn't do any good to make commitments if you're not going to act on them, right? And that's what we see next in our passage, Jonathan and David acting on their commitments to each other. Well, one way that we act on our commitments as friends is by watching out for each other. And that's what we see Jonathan doing for David here in this next section. Back to 1 Samuel 20, verses 18 to 23 now. "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Tomorrow's the new moon festival, and you will be missed, because your seat will be empty. The day after tomorrow, toward evening, go to the place where you hid when this trouble began, and wait by the stone Ezel. I will shoot three arrows to the side of it, as though I were shooting at a target, and then I will send a boy and say, go find the arrows.'" Now he's going to set up a signal with David here. "If I say to the boy, 'Look, the arrows are on this side of you, bring them here,' then you may come, because as surely as the Lord lives, you are safe. There is no danger. But if I say to the boy, 'Look, the arrows are beyond you,' then you must go, because the Lord has sent you away. And about the matter you and I discussed, their loyalty to each other, remember, the Lord is witness between you and me forever." So Jonathan watches out for David here by putting a plan into action. Putting into action a plan to discern Saul's motives and then to let David know where Saul stands. So Jonathan's going to put their previous plan into action at the feast, and then he's going to communicate to David in the field through this little signal of shooting the arrows, right? He's going to shoot three arrows, not just one. If he goes out there and somebody's watching, he just shoots one arrow, you know, some might say, "Ooh, that looks like a signal," right? But if he shoots several arrows in different directions, it'll look like more like target practice. And then depending on what he says after he shoots the arrows, David will know whether it is safe to stay or not. Notice Jonathan's trust in God's sovereignty in all of this. If Jonathan cries out, "Look, the arrows are beyond you," that is a sign what? That David must go, Jonathan says, because the Lord has sent you away. In other words, Jonathan trusts that God is sovereign over this situation, even if his father Saul continues to be angry with David. Jonathan puts his plan together, fully trusting God's sovereignty over the situation and watching out for his friend. See, true friends watch out for each other. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." True friends do that. We carry each other's burdens for each other. We help each other. We watch out for each other. We help wherever we can. That's one way we act out our commitment as friends. Another way we act in our commitment as friends is we speak up for each other. Pick it up again now, verses 24 to 32. So David hid in the field. And when the new moon festival came, the king sat down to eat. He sat in his customary place by the wall opposite Jonathan. Abner sat next to Saul. But David's place was empty. Now Saul said nothing that first day, for he thought something must have happened to David to make him ceremonially unclean. Surely he is unclean. But the next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty again. Then Saul said to his son Jonathan, "Why hasn't the son of Jesse come to the meal, either yesterday or today?" Jonathan answered, this is what he and David had agreed on earlier. Jonathan answered, "David earnestly asked me for permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, 'Let me go, because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town, and my brother has ordered me to be there. If I have found favor in your eyes, let me get away to see my brothers.' That is why he has not come to the king's table." Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman. Wow. Don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send and bring him to me, for he must die." And Jonathan responds, he goes, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. Now, you've all learned a new insult this morning from the scriptures. Please don't use that one at home, okay? Even though you've learned that one. We're just told what Saul did there. Not a good insult. But Jonathan speaks up for David, doesn't he? Speaks up for his friend. Notice that Saul despises David so much by this time that he won't even call David by his name anymore. You notice that? Three times he refers to him as the son of Jesse, rather than actually speaking his name. But when Jonathan speaks up for David, Jonathan speaks David's name. He speaks up for his friend. He vouches for his innocence. Saul tries to manipulate Jonathan. He tries to manipulate him with guilt by bringing Jonathan's mother into the situation. "Don't I know that you've sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother, the mother who bore you?" He's trying to make Jonathan feel guilty. And then he tries to tempt Jonathan with the kingdom. "As long as this son of Jesse lives in this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established." What's Saul doing? He's basically dangling the kingdom before Jonathan. He's saying, "It's supposed to be you, son. You're supposed to be the next king." But you know what? Jonathan refuses to take the bait. He continues to speak up for his friend. He says, "Why? Why should he be killed? Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" That's the exact same question David asked Jonathan at the beginning of this chapter. That's where we started. David comes to Jonathan and says, "What have I done?" "Well, he's done nothing. He's innocent." Proverbs 31, verse 9 says this, "Speak up." That's what it says. It says, "Speak up. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." You see, a second way we act on our commitments as friends is we speak up for each other. I had the opportunity to do this just this past week. Someone said something negative about one of my friends. I could have just let it go, but I didn't. I spoke up. I said, "That person's a good friend of mine." I said, "They're a great person." And then I told them maybe there'd been a misunderstanding or perhaps they just caught my friend on a bad day or something. But I said, "If you got to know my friend like I know them," I said, "you would love them. You would love them so much." Because that's what friends do, right? True friends, you speak up for each other. And then we act on our friendship commitments by truly caring for each other. Look at verses 33 and 34. "But Saul hurled his spear at Jonathan to kill him. And then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. On that second day of the month, he did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David." Saul is so angry at Jonathan speaking up for David. He's so angry at Jonathan for doing this. He throws his spear at his own son this time. He's thrown it at David before, but now he's throwing it at Jonathan. Jonathan gets up from the table. He's so upset he doesn't even eat. But notice that he's not so upset about his father throwing a spear at him. He's not so upset at his own father trying to kill him in a moment of anger as he is grieved at his father's treatment of David. Right? He cares more about Saul's mistreatment of David than the fact that his own father just threw a spear at him. That's true love. That's truly caring for someone deeply. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "Above all, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply from the heart, because love covers over a multitude of sins." And so true friendship involves making commitments and acting on commitments. It involves true love and deep affection for each other. We make commitments and then we act on those commitments by watching out for each other, by speaking up for each other, and by truly caring for each other. So we've seen Jonathan and David making commitments of friendship to each other. We see them acting on those commitments. And now finally, point number three, we see Jonathan and David following through on their commitments. You see, true friendship is for the long haul, isn't it? And we need to follow through in our commitments if our friendship is going to go the distance. One of the most important ways of following through in your commitments as friends is by keeping your promises. Keeping your promises. Look at verses 35 to 40 now. "In the morning, Jonathan went out to the field for his meeting with David. He had a small boy with him. And he said to the boy, 'Run and find the arrows I shoot.' As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the boy came to the place where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, Jonathan called out after him, 'Isn't the arrow beyond you?'" Ah, that was one of the signals to David, right? That it's not safe. And then just to make sure that David understands, he shouted, "Hurry! Go quickly! Don't stop!" The boy picked up the arrow and returned to his master. The boy knew nothing of all this. Only Jonathan and David knew. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and said, "Go carry them back to town." Jonathan keeps his promise to David. And he comes back to the field as promised. He acts out the whole arrow scenario. He has a small boy with him, but apparently there's no one else around. You know, I think the three arrow signal in case would have been in case there were others around. So he just has to shoot the one arrow and calls out the signal, sends the boy home with the weapons. Jonathan keeps his promise to David, and now he is ready to meet his friend. And he steps out there unarmed. He's given his weapons to the boy. Steps out into the field unarmed to meet his friend. Proverbs 25, verse 19 says this, "Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble." Imagine for a moment if David was out there waiting in the field and Jonathan didn't show. What if Jonathan had left his friend hanging? What if Jonathan did not follow through by keeping his promise to David? Well, it wouldn't have said much for their friendship now, would it, right? One of the most important ways we follow through on our commitments as friends is by keeping our promises to each other. And when you do all these things that we're talking about this morning, when you make these precious commitments as friends, when you act on those commitments by watching out for each other, by speaking up for each other, by truly caring for each other, when you follow through in your commitments by keeping your promises, then you will not only be the best of friends, you will also be forever friends. And even distance will not stop your friendship. Look at the last two verses of the chapter now, verses 41 and 42. "After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together. But David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.' And then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town." So Jonathan and David meet in the field. David bows down before Jonathan three times. This is an expression of extreme respect for his friend. They kiss each other. This is a common custom in those days when bidding farewell to a friend. They weep together. You can see the love and the emotion the depth of their friendship as they say goodbye and as they pledge forever friendship to each other. David had to leave. He had to go. It wasn't safe anymore. And from here on out through the end of 1 Samuel, David's on the run. But you know what? He would never forget Jonathan, and he would never forget his covenant of friendship with Jonathan. In fact, long after Jonathan has died and David becomes king, you'll see this when you get into 2 Samuel chapter 9, David will still, even then, he will remember his covenant with Jonathan. And he asks, is there anyone from Jonathan's family I can show kindness to? And he keeps his covenant of friendship, and he looks after Jonathan's family because they are forever friends. It hurts to say goodbye to a friend, but that does not mean the friendship has to end. And you can still be there for each other, just in different ways. And the best part is, if you're Christian friends, then you truly are forever friends. Not just on this earth. Even death will not end your friendship. For when Christ returns, the dead in Christ will be raised, and we will be joined together with them. And in the words of 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and so we will be with the Lord forever. This is such a beautiful chapter about such a beautiful friendship between David and Jonathan. And we learn so much from this chapter about our own friendships and how we can be a better friend to those around us. Best friends make commitments to each other. They act on those commitments, and then they follow through on those commitments. But you know what? We can take this chapter, and we can take it even one step deeper. One step deeper when we think about Jesus and his friendship with us. Because no matter how good your friendships are here on earth, Jesus is the very best of friends. And so as we close the sermon right now, I just want to take a minute and I just want us to run through this friendship grid again. You can have your outline out if you want to see the different terms of friendship. I want to run through this grid one more time, but thinking about Jesus. Good friends make a commitment of availability, right? Jesus is available. He says in Matthew 28:20, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is kind. We read in Titus chapter 3, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Jesus is absolutely truthful. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is completely loyal. He says in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And friendship with Jesus is mutual. In other words, we also have responsibilities and commitments. Jesus said in John 15, verse 14, he said, you are my friends if you do what I command. We have responsibilities too. And although we can never be as good a friend to Jesus as Jesus is to us, we are still called into a true relationship with Jesus where love and commitment flow in both directions. And then Jesus acts on his commitments to us. Jesus watches out for you. Psalm 121, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Jesus speaks up for you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 tells us this, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And Jesus truly cares for you. He cares for you so much, he gave his life for you. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love is no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And talk about following through in commitments, Jesus keeps his promises. Psalm 145:13, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. And Jesus is a forever friend. As we read earlier from 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Friendship is such a precious gift from God. The best way to make a friend is to be a friend. And when we make these commitments of friendship to each other, we act on them and we follow through on them, we can know the blessing of friendship in a whole new way. My prayer for all of us this morning as a result of the sermon is that you will seek to be a better friend with your friends. And I pray that you will also give thanks to God for his friendship with you through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the very best of friends. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful chapter. We thank you for the beautiful friendship of David and Jonathan. It's a friendship that's celebrated not only in the pages of Scripture, not only in our churches. Lord, even people who've never read the Bible, for some reason they've heard of the friendship of David and Jonathan. Because, Lord, it is such a beautiful friendship. And, Lord, we see all of the ingredients here. And, Lord, we can do the same things. We can make these same commitments. We can act on them in the same way. We can follow through on our commitments in the same way. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to be better friends to each other. Help us to find those special people that we can be best friends with. And Lord Jesus, thank you for being the very best of friends to us. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your precious name. Amen.